Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Hello.
Welcome to Musical Improv Comedy.
Yes, and this week we bring you Heather's special interview with the people from Improper.
Yes, I went to London, big old London, to watch Improper and had a really lovely time. And they were very nice and let me interview them before the show.
So during the interview, we're going to hear a few clips from the show as well.
Yes, we're going to have a fantastic song from Neil about curtains and a wonderful German leader about millipedes.
Brilliant.
And Joe, you might have some competition, I'm afraid to say, because the musicians in Improper were fantastic, and we're going to hear their interpretation of My Funny Valentine as well.
Wow, played in styles like Dvorak and Benjamin Britten, I think.
That's right, yeah,
hear.
It was amazing. So thanks very much, Improper, for having me along.
I think without further ado...
So I'm joined by Neil Ashdown and David Pearl from Improper. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, how are you, Heather? You look extremely... keen.
Do and, I?
Yeah, you do. You look as though you love improv. Is that right?
Is it that obvious?
It is. You've got that glow.
Yeah, as all improvisers do.
Yes.
So yeah, thanks very much for agreeing to talk with me this afternoon.
Very, very happy to do that.
Can I just first of all ask you about how the show began and what the show is about?
You answer, because I wasn't around when it began.
Yeah.
Well, I was alive, but I wasn't involved.
Yeah. The show really came out of rehearsal techniques that we used for a company that I ran previously called Opera Circus, which was an opera physical theatre company. And part of what we used to do in rehearsals was a bit of improv. We learned a bit of improv, mostly to help us be less kind of stuck up opera singers, to be really honest. I mean, it was designed to free us up. And at one point I thought, yeah, I wonder if an audience would like to see this. And it sort of came from there. In other words, it comes from a musical room, not an improv room, in the sense that we are basically musicians who improvise, rather than improvisers first and foremost who have learned to do music. Neil here is the one, however, he's slightly accepted then, that you are mostly... Were you originally, and how can I put this in a way that sounds right?
The way that doesn't sound like he's not as good.
Well, I'm trying not to patronise you, although of course it's inevitable.
Yes, thank you, love. I'm an improviser, I've done lots of comedy improvising, and was involved in a show called the Impro Musical a long time ago. And
whose line is it anyway?
Yes, all that sort of stuff. And Improper wanted some different ideas, or I guess, so I came in to sort of do some workshops, really, and then they needed an extra male singer, so I've sort of joined it on that basis. So the thing I worry about most when I do this show is the quality of my singing compared to people who are trained opera singers. That's the thing that sort of... But
you needn't worry, because everyone loves him the most. They say it was very good. Ooh, that guy, the front man, he's marvellous. Now you were fine, but he's marvellous.
So that's how I sort of got involved. But it's a very enjoyable thing to do, I have to say.
So what's the concept behind the show?
The concept behind the show is that contemporary music should be made up in the moment. So rather than think of improv as a sort of a gag, really, the starting point was, what if we tried to make up real music and really meant it in the moment? And then we noticed people laughed a lot. But we still, I would say, try, and the concept anyway is that we are a real opera company trying to do real opera. And admittedly, the suggestions we get are ludicrous, but the more we can be authentic musically and emotionally, funnier and more satisfying it appears to be. So I think that's probably the concept behind it.
Mm. Yes, I agree. And there is something inherently absurd about opera as a form. People walking around singing to each other. And so you either fully inhabit that form and embrace that absurdity, or you, if you stand aside from it, it sort of doesn't sustain very long.
It becomes a sort of pastiche.
It becomes rather thin.
There is something genuinely quite interesting, I think, which is that the music is emotionally true. It has to be. I mean, all music is. Particularly this kind of, the operatic music, it's true. It is, you know, in opera, the music is saying what's going on in the soul of the performers. It's the inner conversation. It's the psychology, if you like. And what I think is quite satisfying, it's certainly satisfying to perform, and I think it is probably quite satisfying to watch, is that there's two levels. One is, there's the absurdity, as Neil was saying, of the of improv, and there's the joyful kind of tightrope of that. And then underneath it, or sort of around it, is something that the audience feels to be emotionally absolutely true. So it's, the music is fully and genuinely sad. It can't be funny about itself. And these two things running alongside, so emotional truth and sort of narrative surrealness, is what I like most when I see great improv. You go, it's real and funny at the same time. And we noticed it when we did our very first gig, which was in the street. It was in Covent Garden Piazza for the Covent Garden Festival many moons ago, and we showed up and feeling really quite anxious about it. And there were a couple of guys, you know, who'd been drinking a lot. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm not a trained street performer. This is going to be really hard. I don't know how to handle hecklers and what's it going to be like. But it's really interesting that the music completely calmed them down. There was no heckling, they just sat. There was something kind of pleasing about good quality music, I'm going to say. That kind of, it calms the audience down. They're not expecting gag-a-rama. They're quite satisfied if it's nice. They're quite satisfied if it's musically pleasant. Mm. And, you know, tactically that buys you time.
In this show, one of the disciplines is to not sing all the time, because the music takes care of a lot of the storytelling quite often. So it's good to stop singing and walk about a bit, which is very rare for an improvised show, because most improvised shows, people are, you know, keep talking, and the little hamster on the wheel inside your head keeps running around. And in this one, it just sort of stops for a while, and you can enjoy being on stage with the space being filled up by nice sounds.
So you touched on this earlier, Neil, but we were talking recently about whether or not you have to be able to sing to do musical improvisation. Now, obviously, this show is slightly different because it's opera-based. But what do you think about that, particularly as someone who's in the show, as you said earlier, and who's not a trained opera singer?
I think the key, because I do sort of straight comedy shows with music in it, so people are put on the spot, and the key is a sense of rhythm rather than a sense of note. So a sense of rhythm gives you a kind of sense of the shape of a song, and if you've got a sense of the shape of a song, you can deliver something. And we all know various people over the years who have not been able to sing but can't half deliver a song. And I think that's the key. And if you understand the meter of the piece of music that you're singing to, then you can get away with it. And it helps if you sing like an angel.
Thank you. When you started working with musicians doing improvisation, what was the biggest change in the way you worked? What was the steepest learning curve or the thing that you found most difficult?
I think that it's very simple. I think if you have grown up in learning written music, the first time you step off and start to make stuff up feels incredibly scary. And for me, the watershed moment came for me when we were at Battersea Arts Centre, you know, quite a while ago, and the company had been on, and I was off, and so the company left the stage, and it was like, it's you, it has to be you, you know what I mean? The audience going, come on in. So I walked out with not a clue what I was going to sing. But I thought, it'll be okay, it's always okay. And it wasn't, actually. It wasn't okay at all. I was still, there was a sort of vamping going on. Vamped already, sort of thing. And nothing happened, and nothing. It probably took 2 seconds, but it felt like an age. And I was, everything, the room narrowed down to this kind of microscopic point. And I heard two things. I heard a voice singing, which turned out to be my voice, singing the words, plastic people, plastic world. And simultaneously, I heard people cheering. And they weren't cheering my invention, they were cheering the fact that I was well and truly stuck. And they loved that. They loved that. And as somebody that's been involved in sort of classical music making since I was really a nipper, it was really interesting because, really, it's not okay to fail in classical music. It really isn't. That's a mistake, start again. And this was the opposite. It was like, hang on, they are enjoying my discomfort. They're in it with me. That was an amazing turning point. And once having experienced that, I think that really does change your understanding of what's important.
So what is the musical setup? How many in the cast and what musicians do you actually have in the show?
There's four singers. The core company is four singers and two instrumentalists, but that we've got a very good set of people who fill in at times when some of us can't do it, which is a lovely
guests,
thing.
Really, guests. People guesting with us.
Guesting, who are all very good, sometimes a bit too good, so that we have to make sure that
keep them hungry. So piano and winds.
And there's one exercise where they're showcase, so you just listen to them and play the piece.
Obviously, not giving away any secrets too much.
The answer is probably no. We practice things sometimes, not as much as we'd like. But all you can do really is practice so that you're ready for the unexpected. Which it doesn't mean that you arm yourself with every possible scenario that might come your way. It just means that you just get used to not being ready, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or being in a state of unreadiness and enjoying it. And that's more or less all we do. I mean, sometimes we might think about a certain style of a thing that we would like to try, or practice duets or practice trios, but quite often we just muck about in a rehearsal room and whatever sticks from the whatever sticks in their heads and whatever arrives on stage arrives on stage. So it really is, there isn't really any planning. The first half is a series of games that are kind of improvised games. So it's like a recital, it's like a concert recital with various singers getting up. And then the second half is a song through narrated opera, which I think when it first started, there was some story structure attached to it that they would, that the show would follow for the for the purposes of telling a story. But those things become very restrictive after a while and laborious. And I think you can tell when performers are hitting marks, so to speak, when they're improvising, rather than just picking up an idea and running with it. And the more you do it, the less you enjoy too much structure.
Yeah, the structures are, you think they help you generate material, but and they can, but they eventually help you stay safe. One of the things that is, there's a discipline we sometimes try and do is make numbers happen, because unlike musicals, which it's very clear the ins and outs of numbers, when you're doing through composed opera, through improvised, I should say, you know, you can get into a kind of what we call noodling, it never kind of stops and gets emotional.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about emotions earlier, but it's, you don't know when the aria has begun and end, and you can get, and that's not the most satisfying. So partly what we try and do is drive it into some form of structure. We'll go, okay, it's now you have to sing by yourself. So that, well, we're going to have a duet now, and we try then not to overcomplicate it, but try and stay there and sing about what you feel.
Mm.
Morag, in fact, we could even do an example of this, but Morag often is a foreign opera singer in the first half, and Neil translates what she's singing about, and she really gives herself full permission to be emotional about the most inane things.
For the tulip is the flower of my lover's heart. His name is Skistifanyu. Skistifanyu, my beautiful man. We had a good year last year. We didn't give a toss about tulips last year.
Do you do a lot of drilling in different composers when you rehearse?
Different composers, no. Probably different centuries, different types of music, yes. So we probably do a bit of, as our warm-up, we might do some Baroque opera, because that requires a certain kind of counterpoint, and it's an easy way in for us. Then we might do some romantic stuff. Sometimes Anthony, who's a walking, you know, the Google of music, sometimes will work on ABA form, or he'll, you know, will say, what does Pergolesi sound like, and we'll do some of that. We should do more. I mean, wouldn't it be great to do more? You know, one thing we've never done is we've never gone to the opera together.
Aww.
I don't think Neil's ever been to the opera.
I've been to three.
You've been to three. But I tell you one thing that's interesting, to go back to what you were saying, is how improvising can get people over the fear of singing. Some people say, you know, oh, it's terrifying, but for example, with using gibberish, it somehow people liberates their voices.
Mm.
So we've worked with businesses as well, and people are just tongue-tied until you say, well, let's just make it up. Sound, and somehow that gibberish, particularly singing in nonsense, frees people up. It frees them up physically, it frees them up vocally. And having been involved in classical music all my life, this is definitely the most joyful, because we are doing classical music, in my view, but it is a real pleasure. And as a colleague of ours said, I remember coming off once bit miserable half time. And Philip, who is actually somebody who sings with the Impro Musical now, said to me, well, in an improvised show, if you come off and you haven't had fun, you've only got yourself to blame. And it really struck home. It's like, were you making your part tough? Doing nothing.
Improviser's cheat sheet to doing different genres, and obviously, like your friend you mentioned, who's the Google of music,
yes,
you could spend years trying to learn the nuances of everything. So yes. If, as it isn't a lot of short form, and someone says, can we have a musical style, please, and someone gets opera or classical,
yes,
you're the expert, so yes. What is your cheat sheet, improviser's guide to singing in an operatic style, as an untrained operatic person?
Use the same words again and again and again.
Great.
That's good, yes. Long notes as well, not short notes. So if you've got to sing I'm tired, don't sing I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Sing I'm tired.
I'm tired.
You know, on and on, big, big, big notes.
Long, so the
long notes, that's good.
It's serious, like all
serious. Take it serious.
Don't step aside and go, because the thing is, opera singers and classical musicians have a sense of humour too, right? But when they're doing what they're doing, they are genuinely working quite hard and caring about it. So it sounds obvious, right? But if you were given that, is try and be as serious, or that's to say, as genuine as possible. It's not crazy and funny and weird opera. It any more than rock and roll is. Isn't it? It's a form. So see if you can get into the socks of someone that really cares about it.
Yeah. I think there's always. If in doubt, go extreme emotionally. So laugh or cry. Laugh demonically or cry. I think that's too. That would be my ultimate. You know, if you get stuck in it and you're struggling, then it's very easy to start crying anyway. So
do
just
both.
Go with that.
If you'll be really good about it, you start crying and you do a lot of that,
yeah.
And then you laugh suddenly, or do the opposite. So big reversals is good.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. I'm thoroughly excited to see the show.
Ha ha ha!